Nancy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am just waiting for a call in from Jason Reed, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Rise of the Black Quarterback. I'm so impressed with this book, and I am so impressed with the idea of success and how you can overcome problems. This book is fantastic. It is by Jason Reed. It is called Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. And I am so honored to welcome to Joy on Paper, Jason Reed. Hi, Jason.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Wow, I love this book. You know, I don't know a lot about football, but I tell you, I know a lot about writing. And you are such a fine writer.
Oh, thank you so much for the very kind words.
Well, you know, this is the miracle of being a great writer. You take a subject and you, in this case, you're doing profiles of some really fascinating people, but you make it even more fascinating. You draw us into their lives and you make us want to not only know more and to appreciate these people, but in many of the cases, I kept saying, why isn't this a movie? Why is because you write so beautifully and cinematically.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And that's very kind of you, and it really makes me feel great because that's what I hope people will, one of the big things I hope people will take from the book is that it's really about the stories of these men, of the pioneers and the contemporary players who really have accomplished so much. And, you know, they trusted me with their stories to tell them, and I hoped I did a good job.
I think you have. It is so beautifully written. And the wonderful thing about it, you know, when sometimes a sports book will come out and people, I don't want to be sexist about it, but a lot of people will say, oh, well, this is a book for guys. But this is a book for everyone. Everyone will love these stories. I found myself just so drawn into the stories and wanting to know even more than you wrote.
Well, you know, and I hope that's a takeaway that a lot of other people will have as well, because there are so many great stories about these African-American men who were once among the most marginalized players in the NFL, black men who aspired to play quarterback in the NFL, and now they're among the most influential and powerful. And I really wanted to take a deep dive into how did this 100-plus-year journey happen? The NFL is more than 100 years old, and this is a story that began with the beginning of the NFL. And there just seemed to be so much there about, okay, well, how did this happen? I mean, it's not just about the players performing on the field. Other things had to happen from a societal standpoint, I thought to myself going into this book, to have this rise actually occur.
For my readers who aren't aware of you, because, you know, not everybody listens to sports radio or knows what you are, but you're already very famous in the business. You already have a great background. So explain a little bit about your background and how then you got into doing this book.
Well, I was a journalism major in college. I attended University of Southern California. I was a journalism major, and my background is really mostly in newspapers. I was the Los Angeles Dodgers beat reporter for the Los Angeles Times for many years, and I then moved to Washington, D.C. to work for the Washington Post, where I covered the Washington Commanders, and I became a columnist. And then for the last, I want to say 8 years, I've been with ESPN as a senior NFL writer and NFL columnist. And my background is all in reporting. And when I set out to do this book, I do what I do in all my reporting. I act like I don't know anything about the subject matter, and I just delve in and do as many interviews as I can and talk to as many smart people as I can to try to gain an understanding of the subject matter that I'm writing about. And 75 interviews and 87,000, 88,000 words later, we have Rise of the Black Quarterback.
It is a marvelous book. And let's start with the first, because I was so impressed with this story about Fritz Pollard. I had not heard of him. And that's, you know, when a writer such as yourself is able to take a reader into the past, into it's sort of like a journey in time. We go back in time and we discover this wonderful story about Fritz. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Fritz Pollard, you know, his story has been largely lost to history. Within the NFL, Fritz Pollard is a widely known name, but I think the casual fans and the people who aren't football fans, they really don't know about Fritz Pollard. He was the first African-American superstar in the NFL. He was the first African-American coach, and he was also the first African-American to line up at quarterback in the NFL. Now, the quarterback position back then is not as we know it today in terms of the glamour and how important it is, how central it is. It's the most important position in the sports. But Fritz Pollard was the first one, and, you know, he endured so much racism when the league was in its infancy, during the first year of the league. And he was a star college player at Brown, and then he gets to the NFL, and when the NFL is, like I said, just, you know, taking its first baby steps, and he has a rivalry with Jim Thorpe, the great Native American athlete and star of the 1912 Olympic. And Jim Thorpe and Fritz Pollard are the two of the first stars in the NFL. And eventually, though, Fritz Pollard and the other black players, they get cast aside. The league doesn't want them anymore. And so for many years, the story of Fritz Pollard was lost. There have been some great books about Fritz Pollard, and I was able to lean on people and talk to people and talk to members of his family. And I'm very happy to have, again, brought Fritz Pollard's story back to light for some people who may not have known about him, because he is a key figure in the history of the NFL.
And it's a fascinating story of a family that was also dedicated and really stepped forward and made, well, his father was a strong man, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Fritz Pollard, it's a great story about African Americans for the turn of the previous century and then into the previous century. And I, you know, one of the things I love was talking to Fritz Pollard III, Fritz Pollard's grandson, about his, you know, he shared stories about his grandfather with me that really helped me write the book, because, you know, Fritz Pollard died many years ago and I couldn't interview him. So you want people who have a tie to that person when you're writing about a historical figure to tell you things about him so you could maybe shed a little light on his life. And I really appreciate Fritz Pollard III for trusting me with his grandfather's story and for taking the time with me. And you want to talk about a strong family and people who really did the things that you have to do to persevere. It's a great story in my feeling.
It is. And one of the first, it's funny, when I was reading it, I was thinking, family, having this strong family is so important. And because this family is really, they've shown such great spirit and courage, and they faced all of the horrible problems of racism, but they stayed strong and they stayed together. And I love the story of them. I was wondering if anybody's actually ever done a film about Pollard.
Well, there was a film several years back, and it was I believe the NFL Network did the film about Fritz Pollard's life. It wasn't a feature length in movie theaters film, if memory serves, but it was a kind of a documentary look at his life. And I'm not sure if there have been other documentaries done on Fritz Pollard specifically, but I do remember that one.
Well, I think you have a wonderful story here in this story. And then, so tell us now, at this point in time, looking back at the rise of the quarterback, where did it go from there? What was the sort of pathway, the next pathway?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you look at the rise of the black quarterback in the NFL, really, it's not until the late 1960s where you start to even see black quarterbacks breaking through to be starters in modern professional football. You had Marlon Briscoe with the Denver Broncos in the old AFL. He was the first starting black quarterback of the modern era in 1968. But in the late 1960s, even at that point, black men were not being permitted to play the quarterback position. He only got in because it was an emergency situation. The starter was injured. Other people weren't playing well. The team was having a bad year. But even though he performed well, the team took the job away from him because, and there's really no other way to put it, just because of pure racism. They just did not want to have a black quarterback. So from 1968, you know, we see black quarterbacks a little bit in the 1970s in terms of, you know, starting to break through on rosters a little bit. But it's really not until 1978 when Doug Williams becomes the first black quarterback drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. And Doug goes on to have success, and he eventually moves on to the Washington football team and becomes the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP award for his myth-busting performance that day. Because until that point, the belief was in the NFL that black men just simply were not smart enough and not capable enough to play that position. So Doug shatters that myth that day. Then moving forward, Warren Moon in the early 1990s, you know, he starts a great run, but and he winds up being the first black quarterback in, well, actually the only black quarterback enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we really go from Fritz Pollard at the beginning of the league, you know, 1920, all the way to Marlon Bristow in 1968. And then not really until the early 1990s is when African-American quarterbacks like really started to be in a position like, okay, well, now the league is more accepted.
Well, it's so hard to believe, you know, thinking about 1968, that was a tumultuous year. And for, you know, for Bristow to become the MVP, you would think, I don't know, things would have changed right then and there.
Yeah, you know, 1968 was a very tumultuous year in this nation's history, you know, in terms of assassinations and the civil rights movement. And it really, Marlon Bristow was really just ahead of his time. You know, had he been born later, you know, if he was playing today, he probably would have been a star who had many years at the position, because the things that he did well in terms of his athleticism and throwing, they translate very well today. But he was so ahead of his time, because back in 1968, professional football in America, these teams still did not want black men at those positions. And even when they performed well, if they had an opportunity to perform, it was something that was seen as still just not accepted. I mean, a lot of these teams worried that white fans would be turned off if they saw black players playing the most important position in the field. So, yeah, you know, you would think that after Marlon Bristow did what he did in 1968, that things would have moved a little bit faster, but we see progress often takes a very long time.
It certainly did. Of course, it was a big change from, explain that term, the tramp football player, because I had never heard that, and that was earlier. That was back in the, what, 20s?
Yeah, that was back, well, in the early 1900s. What you had was a case where athletes weren't really, many of them, I shouldn't say all, but at least some of them, were not focused really on attending school for an education. They wanted to play, and the rules in terms of going from one school to another within the NCAA and various college governing bodies, it wasn't quite as cut and dry. It wasn't quite as laid out as it is today and clear. So what you had was, you had athletes bouncing around from different schools, and I mean prominent schools that would become the Ivy League in terms of the actual name of the league. And Fritz Pollard was one of those athletes. He bounced around until he finally wound up at Brown, and he found a home at Brown. But the so-called tramp athlete, he moved around a lot during that.
Now, when you, as you said, it was a great deal of research here, because you had to go out and meet these people and get their stories. And I can see that from your writing that you got deeply involved with them.
Yes, I was very fortunate in that many people agreed to participate in the book. The pioneers, Doug Williams, Marlon Bristow, who just recently passed away, Warren Moon, James Shaq Harris, and then among guys today, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Randall Cunningham. I traveled to Las Vegas, and he gave me a lot. He lives in Las Vegas. He gave me a lot of time. Donovan McNabb. So you can't tell this story without the people who actually live this story. And I'm very fortunate, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that these men trusted me to tell their story.
Well, you've done a wonderful job with it. Because as I said, I really don't know anything about football, but that's the great thing about a book like this. Now I know a lot more than I knew before, and now I'm much more interested because of your book. And I think that's, you know, that's a great testament to your writing, that many people who will read this just, you know, for sort of historical input and just to sort of know something about the era, they will now become football fans.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, that makes me feel great to hear that. I hope, you know, as a writer, you always hope that no matter what you write, be it a piece or a book, whatever it may be, a magazine piece, whatever, you always hope that people take away something and they learn something from it, and their lives are a bit more enriched for having experienced your words. And so You honor me with what you say, and I'm so appreciative.
Well, you've done a great job. What I love to know about their families. I love to know some of the quarterbacks that you write about really had rough. Some were very blessed with really strong families. They had sports in their families. They were encouraged by their families, and then some had a rougher time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just like anybody else, that comes from different walks of life, and the things that we experience make us tougher. They make us better if they don't break us. And these individuals were, many of them, they took their experiences and they overcame them in many situations, and they thrived. And, you know, the human spirit, human will, that's what makes the best stories about how people overcome challenges and persevere. And that's one of the main things I took away from my interviews, just how physically, not just physically, but how mentally tough these individuals were and are, because you can't achieve the things they achieve without being strong.
Now, of course, I get so crazy. It's 2022. And we're still talking about racism. And we're still talking about people being rude to athletes. It's just, at some point, you know, we have to just draw the line and say, all of you people out there, this is not right. Nobody should face racism. Nobody should be called names. Nobody should be hurtful to another person of any color ever. It's hard. Sometimes I just want to cry when I hear these stories, and I'm sure even these big guys have cried sometimes by the hurtful things that have been said to them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember I was talking with Marlon Bristow, as I mentioned previously, who was the first African-American quarterback of the modern era. And we sat down one day over lunch doing an interview, and when he talked to me about how the position was just taken away from him, despite the fact that he proved he could do it, you know, and I'll never forget, I asked him, well, how did you get over that? And he said to me, well, you're assuming that I did. And this was what, you know, 30 years, more than 30 years later, what, 40 years later? And it left a hole in him that, you know, he went on with his life, and he had some struggles later in life, but he overcame them, and he retired and was living a quiet life when he agreed to, you know, help me with this project. But there was always something that was there, this hole in him that he could not fill because of the thing that was taken away from him, simply because of the color of his skin.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I get tears in my eyes when I think, and when I read these stories, and I mean, that's how powerful your writing is. You write these stories, and for some of them, when I got to them, and I would hear, you know, read about how they lost out on things because of this horrible prejudice that still isn't stopping. I started crying, and I thought, you know, when you have a sports book that makes you cry, that's a darn good sports book. And I
I'm so touched by your words, and my friends will tell you that I'm never at a loss for words, but I'm somewhat at a loss for words now because you've touched me so much with your words, and all I can just say is thank you.
Well, I'm crying right now because I don't want anybody. People, please stop it. Just be kind to each other. And particularly, you know, this nastiness has to stop, because there are great black quarterbacks, there are great black everything, and we just have to have this all stop. And I hope that when people read this book, it's called Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America by Jason Reed. And what it means for America is that we have to stop being nasty to each other and embrace love of each other. And I think that if people will read this book, it will touch their hearts. And not many sports books do that. And you've done that, Jason. I'm just so really honored that you were on the program today. And do you have a website where you want people to go?
Before I give the website information, again, thank you so much. You have touched me and honored me. People can get the book wherever books are sold: Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com. And if anybody wants to follow me and my work, I'm at JReedESPN. And you can also follow me on ESPN.com and Anspire.
Well, Jason Reed, I think you are wonderful. I think you are so good. I don't know if you are in in the mood to do it, but I think you should do a kid's book for each of these stories. And start with Fritz Pollard. I think a picture book for each of them would be great, and you should be the writer.
Well, again, thank you so much. I don't really know what more I can say other than I
well, because you want to honor these, so young people will know about people that they should honor. And I think you've done a wonderful, wonderful job with this book. And Jason Reed, I have tears in my eyes as I finish this interview. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now. It is a wonderful book. And as I said, the stories, he is such a good writer. The stories are wonderful. Please get this book, and I think it will open your eyes. It's called Rise of the Black Quarterback. It is, I tell you, it was not what I expected. I didn't expect a book that's so touching, so heartfelt, so warm, and so beautifully written. So I do hope that you will get this book. And as he said, it is available wherever books are sold, and you should definitely get it. It's not just a sports book. It is a book about life, about success, about determination, and about love, in the end about love. So do get this book, The Rise of the Black Quarterback. And it has been a wonderful day here, because I'm leaving here crying, but I am very happy that I'm crying over a great book. And it's available wherever books are sold. Bye-bye now.